Is back in session?
Good morning, welcome to the meeting, thank you. All right, this is the time set for argument and docket number 90012. Are both sides ready to proceed?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
And do appellants wish to retain any time for rebuttal?
Yeah, I'd like to retain 4 minutes.
Four?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You can approach the podium and get started when you're ready, Ms. Allen.
Morning.
Morning.
May it please the court. My name is Tori Allen on behalf of the appellants, and I am here today because there is a simple question that needs to be answered. When a product reaches a consumer in exactly the manner that the manufacturer intended, anticipated, and profited from, can that manufacturer avoid personal jurisdiction when that product causes harm? And under the controlling precedent, the answer is no. Essence designed the path that this medical alert system took from the point it arrived in the United States to the point its defect led to the death of Virginia Pass. Essence authorized Medical Guardian and Medical Guardian alone to distribute this product in the United States and Canada. And it benefited from this distribution agreement because Medical Guardian paid it a flat fee for this unit, as well as a $2 monthly fee for every month that product was in use. The subject device was ultimately sold through this distribution agreement to a Nevada resident who used it in the state of Nevada, and it caused harm to her in the state of Nevada, exactly the territory where this product was designed by Essence to end up in. In doing so, Essence ultimately involved itself in the entire process from importation to consumer use. This isn't a product that randomly wandered into Nevada. It ended up here exactly through the process that Essence controlled. It knew where it could sell its products, it knew who the products could be sold to, and it knew when those products were in use because it was profiting continuously from them. Essence reinforced this channel that it created by coming to the forum state. This is the frosting on the cake. This is Essence coming year after year to CES in Nevada and benefiting from the notoriety that it gets from this CES trade show. It's marketing that it's coming to CES. It's promoting its products. And most importantly,
it's a business-to-business transaction though, right? They're not marketing to direct to consumers in Nevada.
It isn't, because that's not what Essence does. Essence's business is to market to distributors who then get it to the end.
So how did this product get to Nevada?
I'm sorry, could you say
that? How did this particular product get to the passes?
It was purchased through Medical Guardian as a result of this purchase.
How was it purchased? Was it purchased locally? Was it purchased through Amazon?
It was purchased locally while the resident was in Nevada. I believe she did it over the phone, but it was shipped to her from Medical Guardian.
And is there any evidence that any other such products were shipped to Nevada and in Nevada? Or is it just the one product that is in this case that you're relying on, the fact that it got here and it was authorized to be distributed nationally?
I don't think the record reflects whether more products were actually entered or actually arrived in Nevada, but the intent to be continuing to use this product in Nevada, or knowledge that it would end up in Nevada, is reinforced by the fact that Essence chose to include this warranty in this particular product. This is exactly how it was expected to leave Essence's hands and end up in the end user's hands.
Let's say you didn't have the trade show issue. Let's subtract that out. What would be your argument for personal jurisdiction? Or do you concede that there wouldn't be specific jurisdiction just based on the national distribution arrangement?
Like I said, we don't need CES. It's helpful and it goes to further show that
right,
there was additional
frosting. But without the frosting, does the cake still Can it still be served and we have jurisdiction?
Absolutely, Your Honor. When you look at cases like Judas Priest, because that really is on point the most, you have a national distribution system and you have royalties. Now, this fee that they're getting monthly from the use, it's not truly a royalty, but it is benefiting Essence continuously throughout the use all the way to this defect occurring.
And is that consistent with the Asahi plurality, what you just said?
It is. And actually, Asahi is really helpful when you look at the examples they give for direct or indirect contact or targeting. Asahi gives specific examples. And the one that is most on point for the issue of the warranty is that they say that you can have the manufacturer creating channels through which a customer can reach out for advice. That's exactly what this warranty does. It says, if you have a product, you go to us. You don't go to Medical Guardian under this warranty. You go directly to us. We will remedy it, we'll repair it, or we'll refund you.
But doesn't this fall more within the post-Asahi case of Nicastro? Very similar facts, right? Where you have the distributor, and they distribute nationwide. The product ended up injuring somebody in New Jersey. Now, I'm mindful of the fact that there were trade shows attended, but not in New Jersey. But the U.S. Supreme Court held that the defendant can be said to have targeted the forum. As a general rule, it is not enough that the defendant might have predicted that its goods will reach the forum state absent some additional forum-specific activity. So to me, that seems pretty instructive.
It is, and Nicastro essentially says it's not mere foreseeability. You need something more. In this case, the something more is putting this warranty into this product and assuring that Essence will be involved all the way to the use of the customer, and the fact that
isn't it true that the record reflects that there was never a single product that was sent back for warranty purposes from Nevada?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, but ultimately that doesn't change the fact that they knew, anticipated, and intended for the end result to be whoever purchased this product from the United States or Canada would be reaching out to Essence in the event that there was some sort of defect.
So they have nationwide jurisdiction in Canada and the U.S.?
Not necessarily. You have to still do the factual analysis and what their conduct was. Potentially, I'm not saying that the framework that we have prohibits that, but ultimately you have to look at what they actually did, which is have this this warranty. And I think this is where the monthly fee comes in. Because if you look at that pricing agreement, that monthly fee isn't for all of the products sold with that pricing agreement. If you look at it, there's three specific kits that can be sold, and only the kits that include the cellular device, which is this particular system Ms. Pass was using, only those products have this monthly fee. And so Essence is continuing to benefit.
But that fee has to be paid whether the products are sold or not, correct?
No, that fee is only, so there's a flat fee of $116, mm-hmm. and then there is a monthly per use fee that gets paid by Medical Guardian every time the customer is using it. So every time that customer is putting that product into use, regardless of where they are, they are being paid by Medical Guardian for the use of that particular product and this particular cellular device.
So it's like a subscription model type thing?
Essentially, yes. And again, that's why the fact that it's just the cellular model, not the landline model, that has this. And that was the product that caused this defect. And so there is a something more. It's this monthly fee plus this warranty. And then on top of all of that, you have the fact that Essence is coming to CES year after year, and they're having meetings with the only distributor who can sell this particular product to Virginia Pass with this warranty, with this fee agreement.
I'm sorry to interrupt you now. Can you show me, I'm looking at the products specification and pricing, and I know there may be some I don't know if this one's confidential or not, but if you can just show me where on the page is the part that relates to the product used here?
Yes, so looking, it's the first page.
Yes.
I believe it's Joint Appendix 3509.
Oh.
And the Care at Home PERS kit, that's the kit that our client had. It's the middle one in there. It's the one that ends with, or it has ES75HC. So it's the customized Care at Home PERS cellular kit.
Got it.
Yeah, and if you look at it, that's where the price per unit is $116 plus $2 monthly.
Perfect, thank you.
Absolutely. So looking at the contacts you have both direct and indirect contacts with the state of Nevada. You have Essence projecting that it intends to be involved in the process all the way from the point it receives the product from the original manufacturer to the point that the customer uses it and potentially even has what we have here, which is there's a defect. This is exactly what happened in Judas Priest, where you have a manufacturer, they produce a product, they have a national distribution system, they have royalties, and ultimately that leads to some sort of incident. And Judas Priest
had the argument, and I'm not sure that it really worked, but it's in the case that they had two concerts that were designed to promote the sale of the album, and that those were held in Nevada with the idea of promoting that album in mind. And the one thing that gives me that I struggle with in this case a bit is there's no direct Essence to consumer advertising or solicitation in Nevada. There's the facilitation of the sale by your theory that at CES they're improving or creating the relationship with the distributor, but there's nothing direct to the consumer. Could you address that arguable distinction between Judas Priest and your case?
Sure. I think it's important to look at the way that you analyze this factual, you know, framework. It's not you need everything. You don't need to advertise. You don't need to have a contract signed in Nevada. Those are not elements, right? They are factors to consider. And so even though it wasn't specifically advertised to the end consumer, Essence still had some contact with them by having this warranty that they specifically designated should be included in this product agreement, in this product kit that the customer could then use. So you don't have necessarily, potentially, I suppose you could have, you know, Miss Pass wandering into CES and seeing that they're advertising, but ultimately you
but
don't
CES
need that.
CES is not open to consumers, it's a private.
That's correct.
It's at the level of manufacturer distributor, right?
Yes, yeah. That's correct, yeah.
So but is there anything that they did that would reasonably give them notice that they would expect it to be hailed into court in Nevada, specifically Nevada? Like they purposely reached in here, they had a reasonable expectation that if something went wrong, we are going to be sued.
Yes, in the sense that they're putting their product out in the way it is expected to be. They're anticipating it's coming in with this warranty. It's not necessarily saying, Nevada, we're giving you this warranty, but it's saying anybody who purchases it from the United States and Canada is getting this warranty, and ultimately Ms. Pass did get this warranty. She did pay this monthly fee. I don't know, and I don't think the record reflects whether this monthly fee tells them specifically where this product is being used, but it certainly tells them that this specific product is being used, how long it's being used for, and they know that it came from Medical Guardian, who can only sell it in the United States and Canada, but can sell it without restriction in the United States and Canada.
What evidence, or let me rephrase that, what competent evidence is there to support your allegation on the relatedness argument that but for the 2020 pricing agreement, Medical Guardian could not have sold this device?
Again, the pricing agreement is a standalone contract, but ultimately the testimony is directly from the word of the manufacturer's representative during the 30B6 deposition, where he said, we cannot sell this without this pricing agreement, and it's even in the words of the agreement alone.
But weren't they authorized to resell Essence products as early as 2014?
They were, but not without something that says how much they could sell them for. That's what the agreement dictates.
So was there a different price before this agreement?
We don't know, and the record doesn't reflect it. But the reason that this particular agreement is so crucial is because it came up during the jurisdictional discovery, during the deposition, in direct response to my question, what is the pricing agreement or the Exhibit A for this product in the case of this product that was purchased in 2020?
But, I mean, that's kind of the problem. You're asking us just to infer that there was no other way to sell it prior to the pricing agreement in 2020, even though they had authority to sell the products for some 6 years prior.
Under Ford, you are allowed to make reasonable inferences. And when you look at the way that this record was laid out, the documents that were produced directly from the manufacturer can be reasonably inferred to say, this is the pricing agreement, this is the product agreement. And I see my time is up.
I have one quick question.
Yes, absolutely.
There's some confusion about whether there's one distributor, which is Medical Guardian, or whether there are 30 distributors. And if there are 30, when did those guys come online? Can you answer that quickly?
I'm not sure exactly where the 30 distributors from, but under the product agreement, Medical Guardian is the only distributor who can sell this particular cellular device.
Anywhere in the U.S. or Canada?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Jim Silvestri. I represent Essence USA. This is a case about specific jurisdiction as opposed to general jurisdiction. General jurisdiction has been conceded by the plaintiff that it does not apply here. And of the three elements, the first two are the most critical. That is that a defendant has to purposefully avail itself of the privilege of conducting business, in this case, in the state of Nevada. And it also that the cause of action must arise out of that purposeful availment. The third factor, I think.
Never mind. I'm not supposed to interrupt you.
That's all right. The third element is that the exercise of jurisdiction must be reasonable and fair. And I'll talk about that one very briefly at the end. But the law is very clear that a defendant must purposefully avail itself of the privilege of conducting activities, in this case, in the state of Nevada. The focus in every case that deals with this issue deals with knowledge by that defendant, specific knowledge, or deliberateness by that defendant. The words that are used, in other words, you can't have a suspicion of availment. You can't be I'll possibly avail myself of the rights of that state. Not even foreseeability. In other words, well, it might be foreseeable that I might be called into this state. Knowledge is the key, and that is the words, those are that word specifically, but other words that are used, that we talk about are used by this court consistently, by the United States Supreme Court consistently. Those words, similar to knowledge, targeting the forum, entering into a contract, delivery of items, putting in latest case from this court, the Franceschi case, dealing with stream of commerce and that stream of commerce analysis. Cases that deal with this coming out of the Nevada Supreme Court, the Judas Priest case, Firuz Abadi case, out of the United States Supreme Court, Worldwide Volkswagen, J. McIntyre Machinery, and the Ford Motor case. Purposeful availment
Mr. Silvestri?
Yes.
There can be. Do you agree that there can be personal jurisdiction based on indirect? Like, in other words, if Essence isn't directly selling the products into Nevada, but they instead use this other company to be their distributor, and then that company is selling them into Nevada, that could be a basis for personal
jurisdiction. That is possible, Your Honor, and I think Franceschi partially speaks to that, not completely, and I'll divide up why I say partially. But again, the key goes back to knowledge and purposeful availment. So yes, I could have you could have a defendant that purposefully hires a distributor to sell in Nevada.
Well, but here they hired somebody to sell in the whole country, which includes Nevada.
It was a limitation that they could sell in the United States and Canada.
Right.
We have no idea, Essence had no idea where Medical Guardian would sell. And so again, going back to, well, it's foreseeable that it might happen. We suspect that they might sell. That's not the standard. And the courts have been fairly consistent that that's not the standard. The standard is purposeful availment. I'll give you an example of where that might have risen. You know, 50 years ago, slot machine manufacturers were not necessarily based in Nevada. So the company that manufactured those slot machines 50 years ago, maybe 60, knew they were coming to Nevada because gambling was not legal anywhere else. But in this particular case, the product is sold from a New Jersey corporation to a Pennsylvania corporation. That's it.
Which Pennsylvania corporation has the right to distribute that product nationwide?
They also, I'm sorry.
Certainly your client benefits from sales across the country.
And that Pennsylvania corporation also could not sell across the country if it so desired. There was no requirement to place this product in the state of Nevada or in any state in the country. So again, getting back to...
But the product supply agreement provides that your client is selling to Medical Guardian for the sole purpose, sole purpose of reselling them in the U.S. and Canada.
Right.
Right? That's why your client entered this agreement with them, so they would sell them.
And the Franceschi Court notes this, but also the U.S. Supreme Court notes that the jurisdiction of the United States does not translate into the jurisdiction of any particular state in the country. So the fact that you can sell throughout the United States does not then translate into purposeful availment to sell in the state of Nevada.
In our TikTok case, also recent, dealing with personal jurisdiction, we addressed the argument and rejected that there was a requirement for differential targeting of a particular state of Nevada to satisfy personal jurisdiction in accordance with the Shopify case, I think, from California. Familiar with the differential targeting idea?
I apologize, Your Honor, I am not. If you want to give me a question specifically, I'll do my best to try and respond to that.
Well, so if a company is marketing to the whole country and not just specifically saying, I want X number of customers in Nevada, but if they're marketing to the whole country, including Nevada, does that mean none of those, or does that mean no state has jurisdiction because they're not specifically targeting that particular state?
If they are targeting the United States, the courts have said that does not translate into targeting into an individual state where the case is brought. The purposeful availment, the reason for this gets back to this whole notion of fairness and justice. Mm-hmm. And should I be compelled to go into a state where I have not made myself available to that state's laws? And that is a long history. That has been the consistent ruling of this court, as well as the United States Supreme Court and every federal court that I've found that talks about this issue. And the issue is, it's very, I hate to use the word mens rea, but it is intentional. It is purposeful. It is knowledge. And those are the types of words that the court uses. Targeting. That's intentional.
Well, but if they were advertising directly nationally to consumers, the answer would be different, right?
It could be. It could well be different because they are then targeting. But Essence doesn't do any advertising. Essence doesn't do any marketing. We talked about CES, and Your Honor very wisely pointed out that's private. I can't go to CES. I've lived in Las Vegas my entire life. I can't get in. I don't know if any of you could get in unless you were asked, taken maybe as a guest. It is not something for the consumer, and so it's not something that because you attend it, you're intentionally availing yourself of the laws of the state where the convention is particularly held.
Do you agree with your friend on the other side that Medical Guardian is the sole distributor in North America of this product?
I'm not sure that evidence has been brought out yet. But for purpose of today, Your Honor, they're the only distributor that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But we have not been, the discovery was pretty, pretty limited.
Does the outcome of the purposeful availment prong of the specific jurisdiction analysis change if we apply the stream of commerce plus test?
I'm sorry, which stream of commerce test?
So the stream of commerce and the stream of commerce plus, does the outcome change for you if we apply the stream of commerce plus, which I don't think we've done previously in our jurisdiction, does it turn out differently for you?
And Your Honor, I apologize. I'm prepared to talk about the end product stream of commerce and the derivative product stream of commerce, but when you talk about the stream of commerce plus.
So that was the plurality opinion I think my colleague was talking about earlier.
In Asahi,
right. That says you have to have something more, and let me just find my notes
you.
On that.
Okay.
But, well, you can go ahead and keep talking. I'll jump in when I find it.
I've got Asahi in front of me. But again, even in Asahi, the court is focused on the subjective knowledge of the defendant. In fact, a defendant's awareness that the stream of commerce may or will sweep the product into the forum state does not convert the mere act of placing the product into the stream into an act purposefully directed toward the forum state. So the fact that Essence simply puts this matter, sells it to a Pennsylvania corporation, that is, and where it might end up in the state of Washington, it might end up in the state of Nevada, that is simply not sufficient to impose jurisdiction over that foreign entity here in the state of Nevada. And again, this is not something novel. This has been the consistent rulings of this court for decades.
Do you agree that your client was getting, in addition to the initial payment for the product, $2 per month for the use in Nevada by this decedent?
They were not getting that payment from the decedent. They were getting that payment from Medical Guardian.
Right, but based on the use.
Have no idea what the customer was charged for it.
Sorry, that's not my question.
Okay.
But the fee was being paid by Medical Guardian to your client based on the use of the product by the decedent.
Today, I have no reason to dispute that, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. But again, the point is that that monthly fee was paid by a Pennsylvania corporation,
right.
and anticipated to be paid by a Pennsylvania corporation, not with respect to any other particular jurisdiction.
Do we know what kind of accounting is provided as between those two companies about like where these products are and what it's based on? And
we do not, and there has been no discovery on that point.
Okay.
And that is not the fault of any of the parties. This happened, as you know, at the outset of the suit. We
yes.
did a little bit of jurisdictional discovery, and then we've been in this process.
Do we know how and where and when this plaintiff purchased this product?
I do not.
And does the record show that?
I can tell you that I don't believe the record shows that, at least not to me.
So we don't know who she bought it from or how she bought it?
Well, she bought it, we believe, from Medical Guardian. I presume, but I don't know that.
Does Medical Guardian have a retail, like, brick and mortar location?
Not that I believe, Your Honor. I believe this is television advertising.
And is it correct that the record doesn't show anything about the volume of sales of this product in Nevada?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. And over what period of time was the jurisdictional discovery conducted?
The order, it would have been, I'm sorry, Your Honor, maybe 6 months.
Okay.
There was written discovery. We responded to answers to interrogatories, requests for production of documents. There was one deposition taken of the CEO of Essence in New Jersey.
Okay.
So just
was there discovery from Medical Guardian about its side of the transaction with?
I'm unaware of that because I have not participated in that.
Okay.
So going back to my original question, I found it in my notes. Sorry about that. But
yes.
So it's the Asahi case, as my colleague indicated. And so that kind of narrows the analysis for specific jurisdiction. So there they said it's not enough that the defendant might have predicted that its goods will reach the forum state, which I think is what you've been arguing this whole time, absent some additional forum-specific activity. Do you think that the facts that your colleague over here has indicated qualify for some additional forum activity, having attended the conferences, having advertised to businesses, have, you know, entering into these agreements where they're profiting off of Nevada residents for their product? Is that enough under, and that's the stream of commerce plus test?
Okay, thank you, Your Honor, I appreciate that. I do not believe it's enough, but that is more of a factual analysis. The CES show is, in fact, my client didn't have a booth there. They were there supporting the manufacturer. They didn't conduct any business.
But their point is that you were endeavoring to facilitate the distribution, and ultimately that worked to your benefit because, not yours, but your client's benefit, because then they would get more money by more sales in Nevada, correct?
Yeah. I don't believe that is correct in the sense of facilitating distribution. So, for example, in the Franceschi case, the 2025 case out of this court, and Your Honor talked about the stream of commerce analysis. In that case, LG, the case specifically says LG cooperated with its distributors.
But that was different, right? We were talking about a derivative market in that case, well, where they put it into one place and they had no control over where that battery then went. And they, in fact, took affirmative steps to warn all of the vape shops not to purchase this in its standalone form. And so we adopted the Seventh Circuit derivative test. So that's a little different.
There were two tests discussed in that case. There was the end product stream, which is, I believe, what LG participated in. And that was where they sold the battery to, and this is important, they sold the battery to known manufacturers or known cooperators, entities with whom they cooperated, and that's what's specifically noted in the opinion, mm-hmm. where they knew that the product was going to end up on the shelves. So for
but incorporated within another product. It wasn't meant to be sold as a standalone.
Correct.
Right.
And then correct. In the end product stream analysis. In the derivative product stream analysis, which I don't believe the LG case applied, that is where LG would have, in that analysis, hypothetically, sold the batteries directly to an end, to the state of Nevada. And they did not do that.
So
but interesting.
In the Franceschi case, sorry, we're about out of time, we specifically cited the Judas Priest case that says, quote, "The creator of a product is subject to personal jurisdiction where his product is sold if he is aware of and uses a national distribution system to make the sale." Why isn't that dispositive of this case?
Yes, Your Honor. One, it was not aware of it. Again, it gets back to this subjective. May I finish?
You continue. Yes.
Okay. In Judas Priest, they were aware that these albums were being distributed in Nevada. Essence, there is absolutely zero evidence that Essence knew this or was aware of this.
Okay.
And the distribution system that we're talking about in Judas Priest, it was a licensing agreement given to CBS Records to sell these records.
Yeah.
In our situation, the product is sold to Medical Guardian, and Medical Guardian can leave it in its warehouse. They can sell it in the state of Washington.
Except that your contract is for the purpose of them reselling it.
It did not require them to sell it. It limited the jurisdiction where it could be sold. That's what the document says. It did not require them to sell, and it did not require them to sell in any particular jurisdiction.
But before you sit down, we got supplemental authorities from the appellant in this case on May 5th, and you didn't have an opportunity to respond to that, or at least if you did, I didn't see the response come in, which is not on you. It was a very short time before the argument, but they're citing a recent case, Chevron not the famous admin law case, but for the definition of related to or relating to in the second prong of the jurisdictional analysis in Ford Motor Company. And initially, you read it, and it is a removal case on federal jurisdiction, so it looks different, but they do cite the Ford Motor Company case for their broad reading of related to. And I don't know if you have any comments on their point that that broadens the related to test that was articulated in Ford or not. If you do, I'd like to hear them.
I apologize, Your Honor. We did not prepare anything in writing and filed with the court. I looked at it. I looked at this case. It was not a jurisdiction case, and I could take the words related to in many different types of fact situations and probably come up with different definitions of what related to. So I did not, and I'm happy if the court requests. I don't necessarily want to prolong the court's work on this case, but if the court requests, we could file supplemental briefing.
I mean, I think it would be appropriate to allow a normal response to a supplemental authority because this was very close to argument. So if you want to do something, that's fine, but I would leave it to
we'll
the
discuss
chief.
It. And
that's very good, Your Honor.
Okay.
I mean, Chief, if I can, just real quickly, if you could briefly discuss the importance of the pricing agreement that was signed at CES.
I attach no yes. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I don't attach any importance to it with respect to this issue of jurisdiction. They entered this agreement to sell product to Medical Guardian back in 2014. The CEO testified that he didn't have a copy of what their prices were back then, but they were selling product to Medical Guardian. The request was made for the pricing agreements, any that we have, we produced the one that we had. It's an unsigned, not meant to be signed document. It's a pricing agreement. It didn't affect the sale to Medical Guardian. It just talked about the prices. And it doesn't affect, it says nothing about
it. Do you agree that it governs the pricing and that your client would receive with respect to the product sold here?
Don't know that, Your Honor, because we not being obstructive. No. It could, but I don't know.
I'm not
when,
blaming you. I'm just frustrated when, in general.
Yeah, I don't know when Ms. Pass or her, and it could have been one of her children who purchased it for her.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't have any of the details of that. But and we weren't part of that.
I certainly don't know exactly who ordered it, but so you're saying you don't know if this pricing agreement governs the pricing for the product purchased here?
Correct, because pricing could change over this is a dated document.
Right.
I don't know when it was purchased. Could have been the document. The product here could have been purchased 3 years before. Nobody's told me.
Ah,
could have been purchased two years
it.
After.
Okay,
nobody's
I
told me that. That's my only. Other than do I agree that it's a pricing agreement from Essence? I agree with that.
And again,
we produced
the relationship with Medical Guardian had gone back years prior to CES.
Correct.
Interaction with the pricing agreement.
It, many years before Essence ever started attending CES.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
I want to start where we just left off. To the question of when it was purchased, I believe it's our original motion for reconsideration addresses that it was purchased in, I believe it's early 2020 is what it states. I do know the specific date that it was purchased, but unless Your Honors would like that date, it isn't technically part of the record, but it is that it was early 2020.
But, sorry, that motion that you're referring to is in our record?
Correct.
So if we find that in our appendix, we should see what it says about
absolutely.
That. Thank you. Go
yes.
ahead.
With respect to the pricing agreement, yes, this original purchase agreement was signed in 2014 before CES ever, or Essence ever started going to CES. But under their 30B6 witnesses' own testimony, they could not have sold this product to Medical Guardian, and Medical Guardian could not have sold it to Virginia Pass without some kind of pricing agreement attached as Exhibit A. And when I asked for that Exhibit A, because I said, hey, we haven't received an Exhibit A, they provided this particular purchase agreement or pricing list. And so they answered questions about it. Their 30B6 witness said it was from 2020. They provided it in direct response to my questions about what is the applicable pricing list for this particular product. That is how that document came up. It's not something I just Googled.
But by that reasoning, it would never, none of these would have ever been sold prior to whenever your 2020 occurred. And your reading of the contract is, as Justice Kadish has alluded, that they had the obligation to distribute the product and sell it. So you're saying from 2014 to 2020, they never sold it?
They never sold this particular product. I believe there are other products that Medical Guardian sells on behalf of
Essence. But this particular product was gathering dust and was never sold?
I think it actually was developed later down the line, but I'm not sure. I think based on some of their marketing materials that they've produced or that we produced.
I think it was 2017, this version of it came online.
Correct. So it's not that they were doing nothing with this product since 2014. It's that it just wasn't around at a certain point. I believe that's my time, unless anybody has any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, both sides, for the very well-done briefing and argument today. This matter will stand under submission to the court, and we will be in recess.
All rise.
No, that's
mine.
That was it. there was one. We have them all pre-fixed now at the bench.
I had asked Eddie to plug me in, and I gave him a plug, but I didn't. My plug wasn't nicely wrapped.